It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're studying Jesus on the Cross. The title of the Sunday School lesson is The Savior on the Cross. It's the Sunday School lesson that Elam wrote for the Sunday Schools of March the 8th, 1925, and is being brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Now, our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. In this study of the crucifixion, we are looking at the account of Luke in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 46, and we're reading about how the priest and the people mocked him. Let me read up to that part of our study. It says in Luke 23:33, "And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, where they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou art the king of the Jews, save thyself. They were mocking him from the cross. We read in Mark 15, verses 29 through 30, that the people who stood beholding and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. They were ignorant. They did not know what they were destroying, the temple of his body, and indeed it would be raised on the 3rd day. His own disciples did not understand this at first, but when he was raised from the dead, they remembered that he spake this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said, John 2:19-22. Likewise the chief priests and the elders, Matthew 27:41-42, mocking him among themselves, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, that we may believe him. Mark 15:31-32. Matthew adds in Matthew 27:43, He trusted on God, let him deliver him now if he desireth him, for he said, I am the Son of God. This was satanic gloating over the suffering of a victim of their hate and envy. They were mistaken. After rejecting all the evidence Jesus has offered, they would not now believe were he to come down from the cross. God could have saved Jesus from the cross, but in so doing, he could not have saved others. We read that the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And all of this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. These taunts and jeers were overridden by the Lord to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Is this the King of the Jews? We read in Luke chapter 23 and verse 38, And there was also a subscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors railed on him, saying, Art thou not the Christ? Save thyself and us. Matthew 27:44 and Mark 15:32. They both say that both the thieves reproached him. Either Matthew or Mark put what one said for both, as sometimes what one said was put for a whole company. Or one of these thieves, after reviling Jesus, repented and rebuked the other, saying, Dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the due of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. It seems to be an honest, sincere speech and a confession of sins. But this robber certainly knew more about the nature of Christ's kingdom than the apostles, and they did not yet understand it. Still, he said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Possibly he knew as much about it as Joseph of Arimathea, who was looking for the kingdom of God, Luke 23:51. He confessed the innocence of Jesus, and therefore that the charges against him were untrue. He defended Jesus from the attacks of the other robber. He confessed he was justly suffering for his sins, and prayed Jesus to remember him. Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now if, through faith in Christ Jesus, people in penance will confess their sins and obey the gospel, they will be saved. For they have no promise of salvation in disobedience. Jesus, having suffered on the cross, because unto all them that obey him, he became the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. We have already noted that the first thing Jesus said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. From behind this dark cloud, the Son of Righteousness will emerge in greater splendor, although it seemed that, for the time, the light of the world had gone out. What occurred during these hours is not recorded. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This was Jesus' fourth utterance on the cross. He could bear the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the desertion of the apostles, and the wickedness of the Jews, but why should God forsake him? But there were the resurrection and the triumph, the ascension and the crown on the other side of the cross. Some thought Jesus called for Elijah, Mark 15:35-36. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture, Psalm 69:21, might be accomplished, said, I thirst. That's John 19:28. This was Jesus' fifth utterance from the cross. There was set there a vessel full of vinegar. So they, one acting for the rest, ran up and did this, Mark 15:36, put a sponge full of vinegar upon a hyssop, that is a reed, and brought it to his mouth. They gave him to drink, Mark 15:36. The one who placed the sponge to Jesus' mouth said, Let be, that is, let him alone. Let us see whether Elijah cometh to take him down, Mark 15:36. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, in John 19:30, It is finished. This was Jesus' sixth utterance on the cross. His suffering was over. The sacrifice for the sins of the world had been made, and the work he came on this earth to accomplish was done. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, cried again with a loud voice, Matthew 27:50, and see also Matthew 27:46. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." This was his seventh and the last utterance from the cross. Having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, John 19:30. We should look at some of the additional facts in this lesson. They read that in Mark 15:38, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to the bottom. The veil separated the holy place from the most holy place. The significance of this rent is seen by reading Hebrews 9:1-27. Here the Hebrew writer says, "Now the first covenant had ordinances of divine service, and a sanctuary of this world. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the first, wherein were the candlesticks, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the holy place. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot holding the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and above it the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak severally. Now these things, having been thus prepared, the priests go in continually into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services, but into the second the high priest alone, once in the year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this, signifying that the way into the holy place hath not yet been made manifest, while the first tabernacle is yet standing, which is a figure of the time present, according to which are offered both gifts and sacrifices that cannot, as touching the conscience, make the worshipper perfect, being only with meats and drinks and divers washings, cardinal ordinances imposed until a time of reformation." Hebrews 9:11. "But Christ, having come a high priest of the good things to come, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle made not with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, nor yet through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption, for the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling them that have been defiled to sanctify unto the cleansedness of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, that they have been called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is a force where there hath been death, for it doth never avail while he liveth. Wherefore even the first covenant hath not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses unto the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with the water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant, which God commanded to you ward.' Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with blood, and according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission." That's as far as we're going to read in the book of Hebrews. We might finish up verse 27 in our next class, and we'll continue on this study of our Savior on the cross.